So we'll turn to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis is a great book. I read through my Bible every year. I hope sometimes I make it twice. One time I made it four times. I must have been no moderator in those days. I must have plenty of time to look after everything. But it's a great book. And I got a great blessing out of this 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or in the margin it reads, God did prove Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took a fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, mine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and came together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Ending our lesson at verse 19, and God will bless his holy word to all our hearts. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God. Thank God. He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. The most wonderful thing about the Bible, that it continues always to be wonderful. I have often read the 22nd chapter of Genesis. But this week, as I was daily reading my portion, I read this particular 22nd chapter. And I said, as I have always said, when I have read this chapter, this is a remarkable chapter. This is a special chapter. This is a peculiar chapter. And then it suddenly dawned on me that this is the first chapter in the Bible when any man on earth was made to know the wonders of the cross and the glory of Calvary. For the first time, human eyes looked at the very place where Jesus was to be crucified. At the first time, he enacted in type the whole sacrifice of the substitute son, and how he went to be laid on the cross. But the substitute son was not Isaac. The substitute son was a lamb caught in the thicket. And Isaac was taken off the altar, and the lamb, the substitute lamb, was put on the altar. What a story. How sweet is the story of the crucified. How wonderful what took place on the hill called Calvary, which was part of the Mount Moriah. On a hill we often sing, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of sorrow and shame. And I love that old cross, where the sweetest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. And I hope tonight, as we look again at this chapter, we will see this first man on earth looking for the first time at the hill called Calvary, and enacted in obedience to the God of heaven something that would be not enacted again in type, but would be enacted again in reality when Jesus died on the cross. Abraham was the first man on earth to see and know what one of the mountains of Moriah was, Mount Calvary, and where Christ himself was going to be put to death. Now look with me at the first verse, and you'll find the provocation that was in this verse. Because Calvary is the place where men's hearts are provoked, either for good that brings them to heaven, or for death that brings them to hell. And you will notice what God said here. Look carefully at it. It says, God did tempt or prove Abraham. And every man, woman, and child coming into the world comes to Calvary to be proved or approved. Either approved and saved, either proved to be a lost soul. So it was a place of provocation. Please notice that Abraham responded to the challenge. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham! And he said, Behold, here am I. So this was not only the place of provocation, but this was the place of pulsation. Something happened. Something pulsated in the heart of Abraham. Notice how quick it was. Abraham! And he said, Behold, here am I. Behold, here am I. There was something that pulled and pushed Abraham that day. The day that we were saved, we were both pulled and pushed by the grace of God into God's kingdom. I was talking to a man the other day who got saved through my preaching recently. And he said, the day I came out to hear you preach, Mr. Paisley, I had no intention whatsoever in getting saved. Me getting saved? I would have laughed. But he said, when I sat in that meeting and heard the gospel preach, pressure that I never knew came upon me. What was that pressure? That was the pressure of the cross. The pulsating of divine life. You see, the soul is dead. The soul has to be risen from the dead. And there's only one thing that can raise a soul from the dead is the word of resurrection. Come forth! And the sinner may struggle, and he may fight, and he may cry out, and he may kick. But that the day for God saving him has come, he'll be saved. Not a power of hell will keep him from coming to the cross. And I'm glad one day that power of the cross fell on me. And God said, you're going to be provoked today. Provocation. God's going to test and prove. But I'm not going to only have provocation, God says, but I'm going to have pulsive. I'm going to pull you with the power of God into the kingdom of God. You know what? God's going to save a soul. It's impossible for God, for the devil to damn that soul. That man's going to be saved. Man sitting down there, he had long hair, he's hardly any hair now at all, but he had long hair when he came into the meeting. He was one of the old teddy boys, all dressed up and nowhere to go. And here he was, he came into the old church, and what did God lifted him and pushed him into the kingdom of God. That's what happened on the Damascus Road, you know, when Saul wasn't going to become a minister. He was going to become a prison taker. But something happened. He fell out of the saddle of that horse. And he bit the dust. And what happened? God pushed him into his kingdom. What a push. The pulsating power of God. And that's what happened to old Abraham. Old Abraham was pushed. He had no intention to take a 3 days journey and ride on the back of an old hard ass all those 3 days until he was stiff with rheumatism. He had no idea. But God said to him, Margaret, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said to him, take now thy son. No more sleep, Abraham. No more tiredness and laziness and sitting in the tent door and eating your venison. You have a 3 days journey to go. 3 days journey. Because something happened here, God showed Abraham the prior annunciation of Calvary and what it was going to be like. So he said, thou hast to take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. You're to take your son. The greatest thing that Abraham had was not his gold or his precious stone. He was one of the richest men in the East, we're told. A man that was filled with all he needed. Herds, sheepfolds, cows and kine, everything he had. But there was one thing that he loved. He had waited until he was 100 years old to get it. His son. And upon his son, he sent his loving fiat, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You have to take him. And you're going on a long journey for 3 days. And you're going to offer him a burnt offering. When those words left the mouth of God and Abraham heard them. How did he feel? A burnt offering. My son, to be laid on an altar and burned to death on a mountain. And I'm not showing you the mountain now. I'll tell you about it when you're nearer it. This was a terrible announcement. You'll notice that Abraham didn't rise up early and tell his wife. For if she had told his wife, the wife probably would have killed him and said, how dare you suggest you're going to kill our son? But he rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. He didn't ask anybody else to saddle the ass. He did it himself. In fact, everything in this verse he did himself. He had two servants, but they were lazy bones. They did nothing. They didn't even hold the ass to get it ready for the journey. But he rose up early. He didn't lie in. He made up his mind he would obey God. Greatest thing Abraham ever did was to obey God. The greatest thing you can do is to obey God. Even if he asks you to do the most hard and most difficult thing in God's name, do it. For it's the way to victory, the way to blessing, and the way to power. And he took two of his young men with him, and he took Isaac, his son, and cleared the wood for the burnt offering. He didn't even ask these men to cut the wood. And he rose up and he went on to the place of which God had told him. First of all, he left sleep behind. This was not a day for sleep. This was a day for action. Calvary was not a day when God slept. The apostles slept. But God incarnate didn't sleep in the garden. He was wide awake to do the will of his Father. And you will notice he rose up early in the morning and he cleaved the wood and he went to the place for which God had told him. What a place this was. What a wonderful annunciation was going to be made. And when he came after 3 days of hard travel, look at verse 3. He went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And in verse 2, God said, it's a place upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The first person that told one of mankind about Calvary was God the Father. He told him. Think of that. God the Father. You know, when Abraham the Father put Isaac on the altar that he had built and drew the knife, suddenly, there was a voice that stopped the proceedings. The voice of the angel of God from heaven. But I thought, as I thought at Calvary, there's no voice speaks to stop the sacrifice of Christ. He must die. An old Puritan said, the hardest thing Almighty God ever did was to keep silent at the cross and let his son die. No voice relieved the Father of eternity's heart. He had to stand at his throne and watch his son despised, rejected, and bleeding, and accursed by sinners. Oh, the wonder of the Father's love. His love is more than tongue can tell. The love that God had for me in giving his son is more than tongue can tell. An old Scotch preacher who preached a sermon on the greatest thing angels ever did. And he got up into the pulpit and he says, I'm going to tell you the greatest thing angels ever did. And he said, they did nothing. They were powerful. There were legions of them. They had destroyed cities and emperors. They had destroyed all the places in the Bible that had been destroyed, and we have a record of them. But there's one thing they couldn't do. They could not speak a word to stop the cruel sufferings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He must die. And if they had stopped it, and if the Father had stopped it, I wouldn't be standing here tonight preaching the gospel. But thank God, it went on. The work went on. And Christ died for sinners. And Christ died for me. Look for a moment at the plantation of Calvary. Where was it? It was in the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah. Where was the land of Moriah? The land of Moriah was a land around the city of Jerusalem. And in one of the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, at that time not even built, the first stones laid on that ground were the stones of this altar. was nothing else there. It was desolate. No city. No people. A wilderness. But Abraham built the altar. Isaac didn't build the altar. The two men didn't build the altar. But Abraham himself built the altar. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And there was Abraham looking at the very site where Jesus one day on a cross should die. And God the Father showed Abraham the Father the very place. Build your altar here. And Abraham built it. The servants had no say in it. Isaac had no say in it. They stood and watched. All of God's creatures stood at watch when God at Calvary built the cross for His Son. It was the Father that planned it. The Father that decreed it. The Father who had predestinated it that cross should be built. And thank God it was built. And that the Father should take the knife. And how sharp was that knife with which the Blessed Father made His Son die for you and for me. Oh, the pain of the Father's heart. And oh, the pain of the Son's heart when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here was grief indescribable. Here was pain unspeakable. Here was the tortures of hell on the sinless body of Christ to save me from a lost eternity. Praise God, His sufferings were taken for me. Praise God, His blood was shed for me. Praise God, by His stripes we are healed. And the greatest cry at Calvary, what was it? Finished! And the work was done. Finished. The God-man finished the work that God gave him to do. There was a great old preacher, Joseph Hart. He's a great hymn writer, and he wrote these words. Great High Priest, we view thee stooping, with our names upon thy breast, in the garden groaning dropping to the ground with horror's breast. Weeping angels stood confounded to behold their Maker thus. And can we remain unwounded when we know 'twas all for us? On the cross thy body broken cancels every penal tie. Tempted souls produce this token, all demands to satisfy. All is finished. Do not doubt it, but believe your dying Lord. Never reason more about it, only take him at his word. Lord, we fain would trust thee solely. 'Twas for us thy blood was shed. Bruised bridegroom, take us holy. Take and make us what thou wilt. Thou hast borne the bitter sentence. Passed on man's devoted areas, true belief and true repentance are thy gifts, thou God of grace. Oh, the wonder of it, the wonder of it all. Something I would like to say in closing and it is this. We have, of course, the predestination of this awful work. But there's one thing, please notice. In this chapter, the 22nd chapter, that over and over again, God talks about His only Son. You see, this man had 8 sons. He had 6 by his wife, Keturah. He had 1 by his wife, Hagar. And he had Isaac by his only true wife, Sarah. So, the 8th speaks of resurrection. And there was a resurrection pictured here. Here was a man chained and tied to that altar. But God said, "You have not to kill him, Abraham." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. I want to tell you something. Have you ever noticed in the scripture how many times God got people to look behind them? Just have a look at that. When you have plenty of time, dear, and all the polishing is done with all the new gadgets to do it, you just sit down and say, "I'm going to have a look and see these people that didn't look around." You know, the prophet Jeremiah said you would hear God's word from behind you. From behind you. Yeah. So just have a look at all the people that weren't looking the right way. But then the Lord called them and they looked the right way. And Abraham here looked the right way. And behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. The word there in the Hebrew represents a thicket of thorns. It was a thorn-crowned beast caught in the hedge. What does that remind you of? The one that bore the thorns for you and me. And what held him was the thorns of the thicket. What put Christ and crowned him on that cross? The thorns. The bitter sorrow that he bore. And oh, the crown of thorns he wore, that I might live forevermore. It's more than tongue can tell. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a salvation. And Abraham didn't say, "Isaac, you're a young fella, run over there and pull that lamb out." Oh no. He went and took the ram and offered him up for an offering in the stead of his son. And they put Calvary's name on the mountain. He called it Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And today Calvary doesn't speak to us of death. It speaks to us of an empty cross. And in that place there was a garden where Christ was murdered and killed and sacrificed. And there was a sepulchre. And for convenience, under the shadow of the cross, they put his body and rolled a great stone to it and went on their way. But thank God, on the third day, that stone was taken away, not to let the Savior out, but to let you in to see he wasn't there. And God let us in to see his son was gone. And what happened at the end of this story? The Lord says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad you're a member of his church? Aren't you glad you have been to Jesus for the cleansing power and are washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's bow our heads and let's have our time of prayer. One after another, let's give the Lord thanks. What a glorious God he is. And ask God to show us Calvary. Show us the blood. Show us the Lamb. And revive us. May we have pulsating hearts tonight. May we live unto God tonight. May we say, my old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus now to dwell. Won't you come? May God bless our lives.